Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here this morning. I'm glad you could be here. I'm glad I can be here. We can sing these songs. John does such a good job of leading us in singing. We appreciate it very much. You know, he works the night before. I asked him today how many hours of sleep he had. He said two. That's not quite enough, but he comes anyway. He could be sleeping this morning and come tonight, but he doesn't do that, which shows he realizes the responsibility he has, but also wants to use his talent. We appreciate that very much. But it's good to see all of you. We have a number of people gone, some that are vacationing in other places, and we mentioned some of them in their announcements today, but we're glad that you're here. And it's always a pleasure to be with you and to sing with you and to pray with you and open my Bible as you open yours. And we learn some of the things the Lord would have us to do. One of the things that we do from time to time is we look back at things that have happened. We do that in our lives from time to time. We look back and we think about, well, we did this, but now this time we're not going to do that. And I'm not talking about necessarily it was a mistake, although it might have been a mistake. It might have caused some difficulty. But we realize there's a better way to do things. Maybe we made the wrong decision about some things, and we decide that our decisions need to change. One of the reasons that the Old Testament was written was it was written for our learning, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15, verse 4. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So when we look at the Old Testament, we see how God dealt with humankind at that time, before Christ came upon the scene in the New Testament. We realize that mankind had an opportunity to worship God and do what God asked them to do, or mankind could do just the opposite. And it begins in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve didn't do what God told them to do and they suffered the consequences. So we learn something from that as we study all these things. We learn, well, that's a history lesson for us, and let's don't repeat that history in our lives. Let's don't make the same mistakes. It behooves us to look at those things that happened in the Old Testament from time to time that caused people to turn away from God and the consequences of that. So we do learn something. Our military all the time studies the actions of past generals and past wars to see what they can improve upon. And they look at certain things, but it was a mistake for us to do that. So they learn from that, say, we're not going to make that mistake again. Well, the same thing is true in the realm of religion. We ought to look at our lives and see what we've done in the past and say, well, you know, that really wasn't the right way to go. And I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to do that again. So as we look at the things in the Old Testament, we see many things that were done that were contrary to what God would have them do, and they suffered the consequences. The children of Israel did that several times and suffered the consequences of their actions. And we don't want us to do the same thing that would cause us to suffer the consequences of like a life of sin. Like Paul said, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we don't want to receive wages for living a life of sin. We don't want to do that. Because as James said, it brings forth death when it's full grown. So we don't want to do that. Well, let's look for a moment back in history. Let's look at some things that happened in the Old Testament that caused the children of Israel to fall away from God. What did they do? And what we're going to look at is the actions and the ensuing results that are vividly described in the book of Hosea. What God had to say about them in the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea. In Hosea 8, verse 7, the prophet said that they're sowing the wind and they'll reap the whirlwind. Well, that's an old expression. Some people even use that expression today. And he went ahead to describe what he was talking about. He said, the stalk has no bud in it. It'll never produce meal because it has no bud. It's about like you see a plant grow up and it's supposed to produce flowers, but it doesn't put on any buds, or it has no stalks that would put on buds. And as a result, you have no flowers. If it should produce, Hosea went on to say, aliens would swallow it up. So sometimes that's the case. Some of the crepe myrtles that we see today, the buds have been eaten. If it does produce, something has swallowed it up. So what he's talking about here is the children of Israel, because they sowed the wind, they reaped the whirlwind. That's what happened to them. And we need to learn from what they did. We need to learn from their mistakes. That's the reason that the Old Testament was written, or at least one of the reasons, that the Old Testament was written, lest the very thing that caused them to fall will also bring about our fall and our service to God. Now, we don't like to talk about falling. We don't want to fall, so we don't particularly like to talk about that, but it's possible we could do that. If it were not possible, Jesus wouldn't have said, be faithful till you die. It's possible not to be faithful till we die. And he said, if you're faithful till you die, I'll give you the crown of life. So we need to be aware of the fact that that could happen to us. We need to make sure that it doesn't happen to us. Well, what caused Israel to fail or to fall? First of all, I would suggest to you, they trusted in men. They trusted in what they referred to as mighty men. In Hebrews, or Hosea rather, the 10th chapter and verse 13, Hosea goes ahead to say, he said, you sowed the wind, you reap the whirlwind. But he goes ahead to say, you have plowed wickedness. That's how they did this. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of mighty men, he said. You listened to them. You thought they were mighty. That you thought they could protect you when really they couldn't, because God is your protector, is what he's talking about here. What we ought to say is, if the Lord will, we'll both live and do this or that. Or again, as the Hebrew writer said, we ought to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? No matter how strong the man is, no matter how purposeful that man is, no matter how he speaks, we ought to put our trust in the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in Hebrews 13, verse 6. But that's not what the children of Israel did. They trusted in mighty men. Men may fail us. God never fails us. We need to be aware of that. You trust yourself and your friends, you find out sometimes they're really not your friend. You might say to a friend, have you ever said to somebody, well, I trusted you. Why have you turned out this way? Why are you doing this? I trusted you. Well, the problem is we put our trust sometimes in the wrong place. That's what we do. And we're very disappointed when a friend proves that he's really not a friend to us. And we put our trust in something that's really not so. Like we buy maybe a product and we buy an extended warranty and we find out that the company we bought the warranty for won't fulfill the pledge of the warranty. When we call them, they find all kinds of reasons not to do what they said they were going to do, so it's a waste of our money. We trusted them, but they really didn't deserve our trust. So they trusted in mighty men. One of the nations they trusted in was Egypt, and in the chariots and in the horses of Egypt, the Old Testament said. But Egypt couldn't protect them from Babylonia and some of the others that came against them. God was the only one that could protect them. So what caused them to fall? They trusted in men rather than in God. And that's what he's talking about. You've eaten the fruit of lies. You trusted in mighty men, but you also trusted in your own way. One of the writers of the Old Testament said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's like that expression we use from time to time. I know the Bible says that, but I think this. When a person says that, they're trusting in their own way. They understand what God says, but I think I can do it this way and I'll be all right. And that's one of the reasons they failed. They trusted in their own way. That's what they did. I've set before you a way, God said, and a highway. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's what Israel said. We'll not walk in your way. We're going to walk in our own way. Well, another reason they failed, not only did they trust in mighty men their own way, but they trusted in idolatry. One of the things that Paul said to the Ephesians, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, is finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The final thing that ought to be said in our life is we're going to be strong, but we're going to be strong in the Lord, not in the ways of mankind, not in the world, because the world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. But as John said, he that does the will of God will abide forever. So we're going to do the will of God because we can abide forever in the will of God. That's what we're going to do. In Hosea 9, in verse 10, Hosea went ahead to say, I saw your fathers as the first fruits of the fig tree in its first season, but they went to Baal Peor. I saw them, but rather than worship me, what did they do? They went and worshiped Baal Peor. And they separated themselves to that shame. They separated themselves from God, is what they did. And God says it was a shame. The prophet of God said it was a shame for them to do that. And as a result, they became an abomination like the thing they loved. Which tells me that God thought that Baal Peor, that idol, was an abomination. And they became an abomination to God because they went and served this idol. They were guilty of idolatry. And what we need to realize is that God is a jealous God. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3, when Paul said, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. He's talking about the love that God had and the jealousy of God. He was jealous over them because God was jealous over them, he says. I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, he said, talking to the brethren at Corinth. I want to do that. But I fear, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So I'm jealous over you. So is God. He's jealous over those things. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus is speaking and said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Because he's jealous over of us. And he wants us to serve him. And one of the reasons that they fell, the children of Israel fell, is because they were guilty of idolatry. Idolatry, folks, is anything that rivals God for first place in our life. It could be money, it could be family, it could be pleasure, it could be job. Anything that we put ahead of God. And was not Jesus very clear when he said in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God? So we ought to seek it first. Anything we put up on an equal par with God or even above God and put it first means that God's not going to allow that. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. They love pleasure more than they love God. They love their family. They love their money. They love their situation more than they love God. And they suffered the consequence, and that's why they failed. But another reason that people fall or that the Israelites fail is because they were guilty of conforming to the world. We talked about that just a little bit a minute ago. We talked about the world will pass away and the lust thereof. When John said that in 1 John 2, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. Why? Because the world's going to pass away. That's 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. We ought not to conform to the world. We're not to do that. In Hosea 7 and verse 8, Hosea said, Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Israel is a cake unturned. They mixed themselves more interested in the people and the world than they were in Almighty God. They were conforming to the world. And what was it Paul said in Romans 12? He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is the reason for your service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What did he say to the Romans? I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Not to the world, not to the things of the world. And if we're going to present our body as a living sacrifice, that means we not only present our body, but we present our time and our energy to Almighty God. We put him first. We think about him first is what we do. In James 4, verse 4, James said, some people were adulterers and adulterers. And the reason he said that, and we've studied this in our morning class, but the reason he said that is, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Don't you know that? It separates you from God. Don't you know that's the case? And if you want to be a friend of the world, he said, you become an enemy of God. Why did the Israelites fall? Because they became enemies of God. Why? Because they sought the world. You remember how this started? One of the ways it started was they looked at the nations round about them. They saw they had kings. We want a physical king. One that we can see with our own eyes. They had a king already. They had God. But they weren't interested in serving God. They wanted to serve other kings. And so said God said, I gave them a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. Because most of the kings that they served took them into apostasy and away from Almighty God. That's what they did. They turned their hearts from God. That's what they did. Even Solomon, with all of his wisdom, his heart was turned from God because he married foreign women when he was told not to do that. And they turned his heart away from God. And as a result, he was not the king that he needed to be in the presence of his people. He was not that right kind of king. Well, Israel fell because they conformed to the world rather than they transformed themselves and became part of that which God wanted them to be. Transform means to change from one thing to another. They should have changed from loving the world to loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, let me suggest something else to you. They were guilty of pride. They thought more highly of themselves than they ought to think. They were guilty of pride. In Hosea 5 and verse 5, all these passages are taken from the book of Hosea. And Hosea again is telling the pride of the Israelites testifies to his faith. Your pride testifies against you, he said. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. You stumble in your iniquity. That means lawlessness. They were full of pride. My way is better than God's way. I think it's all right. Therefore it must be all right. If it feels good, do it. That was the conception that these kind of people had in reference to serving God. In Proverbs 6, in verse 17, one of the very clear statements of Solomon is, the Lord hates a proud look. I tell you what, we're in pretty good company when we love what the Lord loves and hate what the Lord hates. Well, he hates a proud look. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, he said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You Israelites, don't you realize if you're caught up in your own pride and your own success and you think more highly of yourself than you ought to and more highly of yourself than you do of God, don't you realize you're looking to a fall? That's what's going to happen. You're going to have a fall. You're going to be destroyed, and that's what happened to them. Why did they fall? Because they were guilty of pride. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said he was speaking to everyone who is among you, talking to the Romans in Romans 12. I'm speaking to everyone that is among you, he said, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But this is the way to think, he said, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You think of what God has given you. Again, the emphasis is upon what God thinks. God has given you a measure of faith. Live in that. Well, how do you get that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You hear what the Word of God has to say, and you believe it and practice it. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith. As written, the righteous are to live by faith, Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 17. That's what they're to do. Well, one other thing. Not only did the children of Israel fall because they trusted in themselves and mighty men, because they were guilty of idolatry and because they conformed to the world, but they were guilty because they had a lack of knowledge. They forgot God. He says to them through the prophet, my people have forgotten me days without number. They forgot God. Why was that? How could they forget God and all the things he had done for them? Well, they quit reading his book. In the book of Ezra, we find that they found the book of God somewhere. It was lost. You believe that? Found the book of God. What about your Bible, folks, and my Bible? Where is it in our house? If someone said, do you have a Bible? Do we have to rummage through things? Well, I'm not sure where it is. I don't know. But if you'll wait a while, I'll find it somewhere. And we go rummage through and back in the deepest part of the closet. Blow the dust off of it, bring it out. There's our Bible. That's what they did. The Word of God had been lost. Had been lost. Ezra found it and began to read it to them again. And they were amazed at what he had to say. They forgot God days without number. That's why they fell. That's what caused Israel to fall. And it will cause us to fall too, because we forget. When you were in school, did you ever, if you went to college, I know you had to do this, you had to buy books. maybe used books or new books, but you had to buy books. And some of those books, maybe you didn't sell back to the bookstore when you got through with college. You took them home. And once in a while, you'll get one out and say, I forgot what that said there. Look at there. There it is. I forgot. What made you forget? You don't read it anymore. You don't look at it anymore. It's not there anymore in your mind. So you go back and you look at those things. That's what the Bible does for us. No wonder the Apostle Paul told Timothy, till I come, you give heed to reading. Timothy, if you're going to learn, you have to study to present yourself approved unto God, he said. You have to give diligence. There has to be some desire to do that. Sometimes in life, we might read what we have to read because we don't like one second of having to do it, but to keep our job, we have to do it. And as soon as we get through and get the job we want, we close that book up and put it in that dark corner somewhere, or maybe even throw it away. Because we don't want to have to read that anymore. And we forget some of the principles. In the subdivision where Marty and I live, we have a POA that people have to join. It costs them so much a year to live there in that POA. When you buy a house there, and this is the way it is in a lot of subdivisions, where especially gated subdivisions, ours isn't gated, but a lot of gated subdivisions, they have a POA. Or they have a HOM, Homeowners Association. And when you sign the papers for the house you're buying, you sign that you've read all these things. You sign that here are the rules of the POA. Here it is. You sign that you've read those things. We have people move into our subdivision all the time that violate the rules. And when you go talk to them, I didn't know it was there. Well, why didn't you know it was there? They gave you the rules when you bought the house. Well, I just didn't read them. And that's the reason they violated. And as a result of that, they have to pay fines and things like that until they finally realize, I need to follow the rules. Well, why did the Lord give us the Word of God? Why did He give us the New Testament? After all, Jesus came in the world to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Isn't that enough? Why do we have to read the book? And why do we have to continue to read the book? So we'll understand what God says. So it'll become part of our life. What was it that Peter said? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't grow in something you don't understand. That's why you read and continue to read. And it becomes a part of your makeup. There is no way in the world, folks, that I could quote the scriptures I quote today if I hadn't spent time when I was a young gospel preacher memorizing them. Had to spend some time learning those things. They didn't just come by osmosis. I just stand up, all of a sudden I can quote the Bible. That's not the way it is. We have to study. It becomes part of our makeup. And I'll tell you something, folks. You wouldn't have a preacher here who didn't study, would you? Of course you wouldn't. You'd say, you need to study more, James. And if you're not willing to do that, we need to get somebody else. That's what you'd say. Now, don't hurt my feelings and tell you need somebody else. But you might. If I don't do the job, you have a right to do that. You invited me to move here, you have a right to move me away if you want to. You have that right. If I'm not doing the job I need to do that I said I would do here. Well, the same thing is true with the child of God. You said you'd be faithful to the Lord, then be faithful. How are you going to be faithful? You have to know how to be faithful. You have to know what are the principles of being faithful. One of the reasons that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, is because he said it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and all to the Greek. He also said, that's Romans 1:16 and verse 15, he said, much as it is, I want to preach the gospel. Why? Because you need to know what the gospel is in order to be saved. Isn't that what Jesus said? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes what? The gospel. And is baptized shall be saved. Because it is the gospel that tells us the things that we need to do to be saved. And those people who don't believe it, those who don't, are going to be rendered away from God. That's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1. That's what he said in 1 Thessalonians also. He's going to render punishment to them that obey not the gospel. That's what he said he was going to do. So we need to know the gospel. So we need to study to present ourselves approved unto God. And then we won't be a workman that's ashamed, but we'll be able to handle right the word of truth. That's what we'll be able to do. So why did Israel fall? And what do we learn from it? As we study the scripture, the things written for time, written for our learning, what do we learn? Not to put our trust in men. Let's put our trust in God. Like Jesus said, when he asked the Jews this question, the baptism of John, is it from heaven or is it from men? That's the question we need to ask. Here's some mighty man, here's some preacher that's teaching us, or trying to teach us we can do this and go to heaven. Is he teaching us from heaven? Did it come from heaven or did it just come from him? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Why did they fall? Because they trusted in their own way, which seems right unto them, but the end thereof are the ways of death, as we noticed. Or they were guilty of being prideful, guilty of idolatry, worshiping foreign gods, or even their own selves and the things they had, not realizing that God is a jealous God. They were guilty of conforming to the world, not being transformed by the renewing of their mind that they might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And they were guilty of pride. They thought more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And lastly, they were guilty. All of this happened because there was a lack of knowledge. And folks, I'll tell you what, if there's a lack of knowledge, we're liable to do all the things that Israel did. And if we did, and if we do, we'll fall just like they fell away from God. And what's the end result of falling away from God? These shall go away into eternal punishment, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. Because Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The interesting thing, when we study the Old Testament about Israel, when they fell or what caused them to fall, all these things we're talking about, but in all of that, they still gave a lip service to Jehovah God. They just didn't do what he told them to do. It's like that person when he buys the house, talking about all these papers before him. He signs all these papers and he's so thrilled, or they're, he and the wife or whoever it is, they're so thrilled. And they move into the house, but they never observe the rules. And they suffer the consequence. Let's not suffer the consequence. We want to go to heaven when we die. And the only way we can get there is to fight the good fight, finish the course, and keep the faith. Because if we do that, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. That's what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. That's what he said. Well, that means we give our life to the Lord. Here's the song, folks. This song is our opportunity to tell others they can come to Jesus Christ. We call it an invitation song, but literally the invitation is of the Lord. This song just helps us to realize we can come to the Lord. The song says softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Oh, for the wonderful love he promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. So what can we do? Come home. We can come home. Even though we're weary, we can come home. Because earnestly and tenderly Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. As a penitent believer, we confess our faith in Jesus Christ. We can be baptized for the remission of our sins. We'll rise to walk in the newness of life. We can come home because we come to the Lord. We can do it today if we haven't done it already. As together we stand and sing.